the first EVA, the first moonwalk, the astronauts, Charles Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, have been outside the spacecraft now approximately 3.5 hours. They have about 30 more minutes left. The EVA was extended 30 minutes a short time ago in order to allow them to complete all of their task. At the moment, they're taking the rocks and the samples that they have collected and placing them in boxes which will be loaded onto the lunar landing craft. Very shortly, we will have some changes in frequencies, some transmitters leaving us at 15 hours GMT, other transmitters joining us. This program is coming to you from the United States of America. From the VOA Apollo News Center in Washington, from the Manned Spacecraft Center at Houston, Texas, the Voice of America is continuing its live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. That flight, now 118 hours and 38 minutes into the mission. At the moment, the commander of Apollo 12, Pete Conrad, and the lunar module pilot, Alan Bean, are on the surface of the moon. They're at near the end of their first moonwalk, about 30 minutes to go in that walk. They've been outside the spacecraft now for about 3 hours and 30 minutes. It has been a very busy 3 hours and 30 minutes for the two astronauts. They've carried out all their assignments. One of the most complicated one was in deploying the some six complicated experiments and a nuclear-powered electrical generator to power these experiments. That was concluded a short time ago. They have come back now to the lunar module with quite a number of samples, rock samples, soil samples. They're loading these samples into boxes, which will be put aboard the Intrepid. Let's get a status report now from correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
We're watching as Al Bean is performing these doctor's maneuvers on the television camera with as instructions are passed up from Earth. He is slowly opening the aperture on the camera.
Maybe give it a shake or two and see if we can
pick the camera up and invert it. And give it a shake.
Yes, sir. That's right, Dan. I'm shaking it now. I still am a little concerned about this plug on the back of the camera. It looks doesn't look exactly full percentage. It looks like it's cropped a little bit from the fill material, and it looks like it could have melted or something. There might be a problem right in the wiring there. Okay, I've shaken it, and what have you?
Okay, and Al, why don't you try moving that wire on the back and see if that will do anything.
Okay. I'll try to hold it in for 10 or 15 seconds.
Al Bean is shaking the camera. He's,
okay, I'm holding it in now.
Working on the television camera, trying to get the picture to improve. We can see some blobs of light moving around on the screen. So far, none of his activities have been successful in restoring the camera to its original state. We see no identifiable images thereon. He's taken
it. Well, I think we've run out of ideas here for the present time. Let's press on. If you take the camera over and put it in the LEM shade, point it at a dark spot, the darkest spot you can find, and open the camera way up, F2.2.
Okay, will do.
One more instruction. So it looks like the TV camera is not going to work on this EVA. At least these attempts to restore it to operation have failed thus far. We'll report more to you. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
From Washington and from the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas, the Voice of America bringing you live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. The two astronauts, Charles Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, in the midst of their moonwalk. They've been outside on the surface of the moon some 3 hours and 34 minutes. While we're waiting for further reports from Apollo Mission Control and from the astronauts themselves, let's go to the Voice of America newsroom for a summary of late world news.
Two astronauts from the Navy are nearing the end of their first exploration of the moon's ocean of storms. They will return to their landing craft, Intrepid, about 30 minutes from now. Apollo 12 commander Charles Pete Conrad became history's third man to set foot on the lunar surface about 3 1/4 hours ago. He was followed 1/2 hour later by astronaut Alan Bean. Both men have worked hard since stepping on the moon, but both have clearly enjoyed themselves. However, planned television coverage of their entire moonwalk did not work out. The camera failed shortly after Conrad and Bean set foot on the lunar surface. The men lost time trying to fix the camera and abandoned the project for the time being. Japanese Prime Minister Eisaku Sato has arrived at the White House for his first formal talks with President Nixon on the return of Okinawa to Japan and other topics of mutual interest. The discussions will continue through Friday when a joint communique will be issued. The visiting Japanese leader was given a 19-gun salute and was greeted by Mr. Nixon on the White House lawn. Secretary of State William Rogers says the Nixon administration plans new moves in an effort to improve relations with Communist China. Appearing on a special television program, Mr. Rogers said the United States, among other things, wants to resume direct talks with Peking at the ambassadorial level. Jordan and Israel exchanged artillery fire in the northern Jordan Valley. In the occupied Gaza Strip, a grenade thrown by an Arab guerrilla exploded outside an Israeli bank in the town of Khan Yunis. The explosion killed an Arab boy and wounded 5 other Arabs. The United Arab Republic National Assembly has accused the United States of being directly responsible for the Middle East crisis. The Cairo Assembly said Israel never would have defied the 1967 United Nations Security Council resolution if it had not received United States military, economic, and political backing. United States and Soviet representatives will meet for the second time tomorrow as preliminary talks continue on strategic arms limitations. The two sides met Tuesday at the U.S. Embassy in Helsinki. Tomorrow's meeting will be at the Soviet Embassy. President Nixon's request for $96 million to continue financing a United States supersonic transport plane has won support from the House of Representatives. The House defeated a motion to delete the funds from an appropriations bill. The Senate will vote Friday on the nomination of Judge Clement Haynsworth to the Supreme Court. His nomination has come under attack by liberals who object to his decisions as judge on a lower court. The vote is expected to be very close. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare Robert Finch has pledged government support to help in research health facilities and physicians needed to provide adequate health services to the poor. Mr. Rogers made the pledge at the National Institutes of Health near Washington. Hydro engineers will turn the water back on at the American side of Niagara Falls Tuesday. The water has been held back by a temporary dam since last June to enable engineers to do exploratory work in an area threatened by erosion. The Census Bureau reports that as of October 1st, there were 202,540,000 Americans. This represents a population increase of 221,000 in the month since September 1st. The population now is 2 million more than 1 year ago and 23.2 million more than counted in the 1960 census. That's the news. This is Leo Scully reporting on The Voice of America.
And The Voice of America continues its worldwide coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. Today, a successful lunar landing and the first moonwalk. That moonwalk nearing its end, now in its last 20 minutes. For a direct report, back to Houston, the Manned Spacecraft Center, and a tired correspondent, Rhett Turnipseed.
The spacecraft lunar module is sitting quietly on the edge of the crater in which the spacecraft Surveyor has been resting for 2.5 years, and two busy astronauts are on the rim of that crater right next to the lunar module. Filling the rock box.
That's affirmative.
The lunar material. Preparing to go back inside. Let's listen to their conversations.
I don't think so, but you ought to check it before you go in.
He thinks he may have bumped into the S-band antenna.
All over, Cameron.
This has not been used. This was deployed, but has not been used. The emergency, the trial procedures at... Let's see what happened. That was Pete Conrad's very distinctive laugh again. He's looking at the stereo camera.
Oh, okay. I don't like to come across that area. It's got span line. It's too tender. Okay,
I have a good idea that Pete's laughter is prompted by his feelings of exhilaration when he bounds across the surface there. He likes it very much. They love the idea of the 1/6 gravity on the moon. And moving about has become very easy to them, and they've adjusted well. He is to move a stereo camera out into the sunlight before they go back inside. And they have taken the television camera and have brought it over into the shadow of the lunar module and are pointing it at a very dark area. And apparently the engineers want it to be left in this position for a while. The astronauts preparing to button up the first of two rock boxes before going back inside the limb. Their stay on the surface of the moon has now been extended. They've been outside for 3 hours and 41 minutes. They still have an allowable 20 minutes to go. Plenty of spare time on those portable life support systems. They've been instructed also to take their time but hustle. Hustle leisurely, or something to that effect, was the instruction from Mission Control. We can hear all of their comments there. I don't know if it makes much sense to you or not.
Well, I see why you get lower that way. Good idea. Good idea.
Al Bean and Pete Conrad talking to each other. The spacecraft Yankee Clipper has gone overhead.
It's real hard with you, okay? Okay, now turn around.
Twice just during this period.
I could crawl up the ladder halfway to get my upper. I can crawl up the ladder, can't knock it off. There you go, that's a good idea. Go ahead and do that. See anything else above me?
Nope. Anything?
Just go ahead and start up the ladder. Okay?
Sounds as though Al Bean's about to go on up the ladder.
Apollo 12. Here you go. You didn't quite make it.
There you go.
Stay put. See?
Al, would you give us a mark when you're on the footpad?
Let me check this. Wait a minute. Wait. Roger, I'm off the footpad right now. I'm standing on the ladder. Pete's dusting the boots off. Man, he needs some of this dust out of his limb.
Roger, Al, thanks.
He's up on the ladder. He's Pete Conrad is helping Al take the overshoes off so they can keep some of the dust out of the interior of Intrepid, the lunar module. Don Beatty.
I imagine one of the reasons they asked Al to tell him when he was on the ladder refers back to the passive seismic experiment. On Apollo 11, we were actually able to notice in the experiment when they were walking up and down the ladder, because that made quite a jar. So perhaps they're trying to see whether the seismometer is receiving this signal, even though it might be several hundred meters away.
In other words, the the leg of the lunar module creates a good jar on the surface.
It makes a good coupling device for transmitting the weight of the astronaut and has stepped into the lunar surface. Or at least it did on Apollo 11.
Well, I think we could safely assume that's the reason for asking that a notification of his hop up onto the ladder this time also. Let's listen.
All the way down. Raise your rear end. Attaboy. Got her.
Well, an opportune instruction for Pete Cutter.
Let's do a push-up. Slide in some more. Out in. Very good. In the hatch, Houston.
Roger L. Copy, you're in.
Bean is in the hatch. About to crawl through.
Give me your old friendly, sir. It'll get the ETB. Okay, just a second. Let me get my gear. Okay.
The ETB, the equipment transfer bag. This is the
ETB and two cameras ready to come up.
This is what is attached to the clothesline device.
Oh, there's my friend again. Al Deeb.
What?
That thing's going to drive me buggy.
I think.
Guess what? Houston?
Peter.
Go ahead, Pete.
You want me to switch over to Lunar Stay Antenna? You want me to switch to Lunar Stay Antenna right now while Pete's on the surface? Over.
Al's asking
Roger, that's question affirmative. Amtrak mode off.
Okay, I'm going to Lunar Stay right now.
He's switching
it. For a second. If I don't hear from you, I'll come back up.
Roger.
He's changing a switch on the inside of the lens.
Stay.
Going to the Lunar Stay antenna mode. Says if I don't hear from you, I'll come right back up.
Houston, Apollo 12, how do you hear on Lunar Stay?
The Intrepid, you're loud and clear. Sounds like Pete did the job.
Thank you, ETB. Sure did. Got good signals, thanks, Houston. Go ahead and start ETB up. I've got this. I'm going track mode to all.
Is that the S-band antenna?
Roger.
Yeah. Just a second, Pete. I haven't got the ETB rig. 1 second. Okay.
Sounds... I'll flip the switch for what is called Lunar Stay Antenna. I don't know if that's the portable S-band outside which you switch to or not.
I imagine it has to do with the relay function of the LEM. When they're out on the surface with the pusses, when they get back inside the LEM, they don't need that mode of operation because they'll be inside talking into the radio.
One of the many and complex modes of communication through the LEM. Now, Conrad still has some time to go before he finishes.
Sir, are we going to jettison this garbage bag at the end of this EVA? Yes, sir. Okay, let me get it in good position. Why don't you throw it out right now? That's a good idea. You're not getting rid of it. It's a good idea.
We're going to jettison the garbage bag.
That's a smart one. Okay. Here it comes.
Garbage bag being thrown out. That is not one of the more pleasant parts of lunar exploration. We hate to think that we're making a junk pile of the moon, but this has to be done at this point.
Power up. Second.
Well, this wouldn't be garbage in the normal sense of the word. There's not unused food and things of this sort. This is materials that were in the LEM, like... wrappings and things of this sort that have been put into a bag and put out onto the surface.
They're already in the bag and ready to go.
Right. They haven't had any meals yet, I don't believe, in the LEM, so it's not garbage like most people would think of.
Wait. Wait a minute.
It's
making a mess. Never mind. Keep on pulling. Okay.
Conrad is pulling some of the... cameras and other equipment up in the LEG, the equipment conveyor, LEC.
The LEC.
LEC. I want to call it the clothesline every time.
That's better, perhaps, than LEC.
This is one of the last things which Conrad is to do before he goes back inside also. He's got to pull out the second rock box from the mesa and have it ready.
Okay. Bring her on back. Okay. Wait, don't let it get hang up.
He's going to transfer the first rock box up into the LEM.
Keep it taut. Okay. Ah. Hey, you can't do it that way, Al. Take it easy. Hey, see that slow.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Now, ain't I, Corbin?
Pete is standing out on the surface of the moon. He has this long cord called the LEC, the equipment conveyor, and there is a pulley on the other end of it up near the spacecraft hatch. Al Bean can pull on the other side of this cord, which loops around and comes back, and by attaching an equipment transfer bag to this cord or conveyor, then on the rope or on the lead, the rock boxes and other cumbersome material can be transferred up the several meters distance into the hatch. That's the purpose for all of this maneuvering. Had some problems. It got twisted or something happened to it. Pete says, whoops, let's try
it. Give it the heave-ho. Ready?
Give it the heave-ho.
One, two, pull.
Pull. And Al is going to pull.
Oh, I got it made.
Got it made, says Al.
Turn this up a little bit, Pete. And let's come forward. Maybe it's heavy. That's right in the door, though. Let me slide that in.
It's heavy. That must be the rock box. The sample return container.
Hey, Houston. One rock box inside.
Yep.
Roger, Pete. Copy. One SRC in.
These are stowed in compartments inside the lunar module, ascent stage for liftoff. All these procedures worked out very carefully, rehearsed again and again and again, so Al and Pete can almost go through the whole EVA exploration by heart, almost automatically.
Okay, bring her out.
So conditioned to go through all of these procedures. And things have gone well, with the exception of that TV camera.
Wait.
Failing to work.
I think it's like playing with a snake. Okay, attaboy. Yeah. He doesn't.
The astronauts have been outside for. The astronauts have been outside for 3 hours and 51 minutes. An extended EVA period. They're not using up their consumables as fast as expected. Pete says, am I dirty? Mission Control has likened their descriptions of their condition and the lunar soil getting all over them to their having wallowed around in a cold.
Okay, Houston. What do you want me to do? Get in?
Houston, contact. Madrid confirms. CSM Vogue added the downlink. That's affirmative, Pete. If you've got the ETB and the rock box in, then climb in yourself.
Instructions to Conrad to go on and climb in. His equipment transfer bag is in now. The rock box is in. Climb in yourself, comes the word from the Earth. All of the men in Mission Control who've helped plan out and the timelines to be followed on such an extravehicular activity period, very carefully going along, watching their plans. They've simulated it again and again. And they can think of a lot of things that Pete and Al wouldn't necessarily think of as they're performing the activity. So, the backup is that communications link back with the Earth. Pete should be climbing up on the platform any time now. A call from Ed Gibson. Intrepid Houston was the call. No answer.
Intrepid Houston.
Ready for me to come in, Al?
I'm ready. It's up to them.
I don't have the Houston.
On
I'm not sure that lunar stay didn't do it. I'd rather go back on track and get them back.
Intrepid Houston, stand by.
Okay, what's your problem?
Okay, we had a changeover from one site to another down here. It was all on our end. No problem with your antenna. It's working well.
Okay, you guys ought to call those things out in advance. That's been happening all the way through this flight.
Roger, Pete, we concur. And go ahead and press on the ingress.
Conrad is preparing to climb back in. He's got to hop up one long step. He's a little short guy, but on the moon.
Houston, Mark.
Mark, I'm on the footpad.
He's on the footpad. Let's
Mark.
See. If...
Check, Madrid.
Let's see if he has any trouble hopping to that first step. It was easy.
I just closed my feed water. You might want to do that, too.
Al Bean has closed off his feed water and his liquid
probably
cooled garment.
That's a good idea. Let me see if I can find it back here.
Pete's going to try to close
okay,
off his, too.
Close mine.
He said he was getting cold
coming
in there.
Climbing up the
ladder. Climbing up the ladder.
Sorry about that.
Conrad's climbing up the ladder.
We get a warning because you haven't got the feed water. That's got cooling for quite a while.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, one garbage bag. Anything else there you want to get rid of?
Not a thing.
Except all right, here's the LAC.
Okay, the LAC's got a kind of a little shut knot in because the... Got it?
Yeah.
Pete, on your way through the hatch, will you give a check on the seal?
That's the hatch
seal.
Seal.
Yeah, I can see it probably better than he can from this side, Houston. Seal looks real good. I'll tell you what we did do. When we got out, I can't believe I did that. Yeah, you did. Because I remember you were hitting here, and then when I backed up, I could... I tell you, we probably just ought to put a piece of tape over it.
Okay. That's my water.
The can of the hatch, and for about a... 10-inch cut there, and it didn't hurt the insulation, didn't hurt the hatch, and I don't know whether you want to put a piece of tape on there or just forget it. Doesn't look like it's going to bother anything. I'd say just forget it. Okay, Pete, I can get over on your side. Okay, let me move over.
Okay.
I just checked your circuit breakers, and they're all good.
All right.
Just a second, not out of the way yet.
All right, but I want you to hold the door for a minute while I
okay.
close this front.
Well, I've got to get out of the way.
Front thing here.
Pete, we concur. No tape.
All right.
Pete's climbing up. He's okay. up in the hatch area.
Okay.
Now, wait a second, Pete. Let me back up a little better.
Okay, tell me which way to go.
Just a second. Okay, you're just perfect. Shoot right on in. Put your chest down in your rear end. There you go. Got it. Go a little bit to the left.
Al's helping Pete through the hatch.
Do a push up and you're fat. A little bit to the left. A little bit further to the left. That's it. Up.
They really have to get out on all fours.
You're in the best possible position. Scoot in a little more. There you got it.
I'm in. No sweat.
Okay, now careful when you turn around.
Yeah.
Hit this. Because, okay. Boy, you look dirty. Mm-hmm.
No, you do too.
They're bringing a lot of lunar soil inside with them.
Okay, it's just need water closed. We did that. Well, we had to close and lock.
Yeah.
When you're out of the way, I'll slide over and lock.
Am I out of the way?
Gotcha.
Then I turn around. Stupid.
Okay?
Okay.
Get on my hands and knees and lock this thing.
Definitely.
Get it pushed down.
Take just a second. Let me raise my visors. Let's see what's going on in here.
Okay. Can you get me push me down?
I am pushing you down.
Both astronauts are now back inside the spacecraft. They're in the process of closing the hatch.
I can't go back any further.
Thank you. Let me close it. Okay, see if you can reach it. Just a little bit out of my reach, you might be able to get it. Okay.
Easy.
I'm ready. Let me get back to the That's your place.
Pete,
hatch closed. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Good show.
Hatch closed,
okay,
says Conrad.
Dump down both auto. I verified this one. Verified that one. That one's auto. See? Look at some first.
Conrad and Bean have closed the hatch. Now going through a checklist before repressurizing.
Manually control cabin repress to maintain positive PGA pressure. Forget it. Okay, lighting, enunciator, and numeric bright.
In a minute, easy.
There you go. Okay, now I'm going to go over here. Over just a little so I can turn around. Oh, you did your circuit breaker. The best I can. Easy does it. What are you trying to do? Look at that stop button. Depressed. Yeah. I've got to turn around. Repress valve. Okay, well, I can reach the repress valve if you want. And I got it here. Does it? Don't you reach it? It would be better if you could. Can you reach it?
Cabin repress to what, auto?
Cabin repress to auto.
Here comes the cabin pressure.
The cabin? Okay. Master alarm and this cabin repress. Let's watch the pressure. Cabin pressure starting up.
The astronauts are now repressurizing the lunar module Intrepid. They're inside safely. And we can hear some of the noise. We can hear the noise as the repressurization is underway. And so that ends this first exploration on the surface of the moon by the men of Apollo 12, Pete Conrad and Al Bean. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
The adventure that began with the successful landing on the moon at 6 hours 54 GMT on Wednesday, the first EVA beginning at 11 hours 30, lasting 4 hours, just ending. The Voice of America's complete coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. My thanks to my colleagues, Norman Guerin, here in our VOA Apollo News Center at Houston, correspondent Rhett Turner, and Don Beatty of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. This is William McCrory in Washington. Now, a summary of late world news.
Astronauts Charles Conrad and Alan Bean are concluding their first exploration of the moon's ocean of storms. They piloted their lunar landing craft Intrepid to a pinpoint landing, stepped out onto the moon nearly 4 hours ago, and have been hard at work ever since. They deployed several pieces of scientific equipment and collected a variety of samples of lunar soil and rock. Unfortunately, the color television camera failed shortly after it was first turned on, and it may prove impossible to repair within the limits of the astronauts' time and schedule for other activities. As the third spaceman, Richard Gordon, continued orbiting the moon, Conrad and Bean were clearly enjoying themselves, laughing frequently, and expressing a sense of wonder and discovery as they took their first tentative steps on the ocean of storms. Japanese Prime Minister Sato has arrived at the White House for the first of a series of talks with President Nixon. The discussions, continuing through Friday, will center on the return of Okinawa to Japan. Mr. Sato was greeted at the White House with a 19-gun salute. Secretary of State Rogers says the United States plans new efforts to improve relations with Communist China. He said America would like, among other things, to reopen direct talks at the ambassador's level. There have been no such talks for 2 years. Only scattered fighting was reported in South Vietnam on Wednesday, and officials in Saigon announced that an additional 2,500 United States Marines will begin leaving South Vietnam Thursday as part of President Nixon's redeployment program. In the Middle East, Jordan and Israel exchanged artillery fire in the northern Jordan Valley. Israel said one of its soldiers was killed. Jordan reported no casualties. Meanwhile, the UAR National Assembly accused the United States of being directly responsible for the Middle East crisis. It said Israel would not have defied the United Nations resolution if it had not received U.S. military, economic, and political support. The United States Senate will vote Friday on the nomination of Judge Clement Haynsworth to the U.S. Supreme Court. The vote is expected to be very close. A simple majority is required for confirmation. That's the news in brief. This is Leo Scully reporting on The Voice of America.
This is Mel Quinn in Washington. The landing of America's Apollo 12 came shortly before 7 hours Greenwich Mean Time. Here's how the communications between the lunar landing module and ground control sounded as astronauts Gordon and Bean approached the moon's surface.
I think I see my crater. Hey, baby.
He's looking for his landmarks.
P-64.
P-64, pitching over. High gate.
Roger, copy P-64.
2,000 meters high, 592.
Son of a gun, right down the middle of the road.
Outstanding, 42 degrees, Pete.
Hey, it's targeted right from the center of the crater.
Hey, look out there.
I can't believe it. Amazing. Fantastic.
42 degrees, Pete. Just keep shot right at it in. 42, we're passing 3,500. Coming down at about 99 feet a second.
I hope you can hear him. Right down the middle of the road.
Fuel. I'll reset my watch.
Traffic
okay,
Houston, go for landing.
Over one. I just want LPD to the right a little.
Roger,
okay, Roger. 40 degrees, LPD. 40
That's
degrees.
That's so fantastic, I can't believe it.
You're at 2,000 feet.
How far?
The boys on the ground do okay. 1,800 feet up, 39 degrees. You got 94 seconds of LPD time left.
Okay, I want to move forward a little bit.
2.5 minutes to go.
38 degrees, 36 degrees, you're 1,200 feet.
He recognizes all of the landmarks below him.
Down at 30. You're looking good.
That's
got 14% fuel.
Al's calling off the numbers to Pete.
Looks good out there, Dave. Looks good.
Looks good, Dave. Looks good out there, Dave.
32 degrees, you're 800 feet.
800 feet.
33 degrees. You're 680 feet, 33 degrees.
About 200 meters up.
Antenna's okay. Thanks.
35 degrees, 530 feet, 530. 476. I got it. 400. Then G66 feet. D66. Down to pilot's low gate. Radio set. 330 feet coming down at 4. Got 11%. Just slowed the gas. Slowing down. 150 meters up. 300 feet coming down at 5.
Look at that crater right where it's supposed to be. 257 feet coming down at 5. 240 coming down at 5. Hey, you're really maneuvering around.
Yeah.
A minute to go.
Come on down, Pete.
Okay. 10% fuel.
That's Bean calling off the numbers.
200 feet coming down at 3. You can come on down. Okay.
Right on the mark.
190 feet.
30 meters.
Down, 180 feet. 9%. You're looking good. Gonna get some dust before long. 130 feet. 124 feet, Pete.
About to get some dust.
120 feet coming down at 6. You got 9%. 8%. You're looking okay. 96 feet coming down at 6. Slow down the descent rate. 80
straight
feet
up and
down
now.
4. You're looking good.
Just
70
about.
Feet. Looking real good.
30 seconds to
feet.
Go.
60 feet coming down at 3. 50 feet coming down. Watch for the dust. 46.
Low level.
42 feet. Coming down at 3.
About 15 meters.
Okay. Start the clock. 42 feet coming down at 3. 40 coming down at 2. Looking good. Watch for that.
He's moving around.
31. 32. 30 feet. Coming down at 2 feet. You got plenty of gas. Plenty of gas, dude. Hang in there.
30 seconds.
18 feet. Coming down at 2. He's got it made. Come on in there.
He's got it
24
made.
24 feet. Contact light.
Contact.
Roger, copy contact.
Rod. Pro.
Yeah, pro.
Okay. Make sure I'm off.
Okay.
I'll cycle these valves. You got your spin engine command override off.
Yep. Intrepid's on the moon.
Cycle the main shutoff valve.
Okay.
Bus seat closed. You get both ready for it, Dave.
On the surface.
Landing. Hey, outstanding, man. After arm on. Beautiful. He set that. Fire.
They're going through the...
Okay, I'll smoke over the ascent.
Turning off all of their equipment, making sure the ascent stage is ready should they need to abort.
Okay,
they're sitting on the surface.
Don't worry about it. Ascent expendables look good. H2O.
Oxygen, H2O looks good. Expendables look good.
Okay, we're in hot shape, Houston. We're in real good shape.
Roger, me.
Engine stop, you push it. Yep, probe. Both control, both auto. Both auto.
Pete says we're in hot shape, Houston.
Engine arm off. Off. I got the 413 in and cycle the Parker valve.
Okay.
Thruster ISO valves are done. Main shutoff's done. You've bent it. Master arm on. Master arm, you turned it off. Master arm is off. Okay. Just watch the systems and stand back. Okay. Hello, man, Houston. I'll tell you, I think we're in a place that's a lot dustier than Neil's. It's a good thing we had a simulator, because that was an IFR landing.
A few hours after the landing on the moon, space agency officials met with newsmen to answer questions on the mission thus far. A spokesman had this comment on the touchdown of the Intrepid.
I think the highlights of the landing tonight or this morning are several. For one, the thing that we wanted to prove on this flight was that we could do what we call a pinpoint landing, or target for a particular area on the surface of the moon, and in combination with the ground targeting plus the pilot capabilities to take over and fly the limb down at the end to land within walking distance of a selected target. Now, they're still massaging exact locations. We've got several. Jerry's been busily plotting. But I think probably when we finally pin it down, and that should be shortly, that we're probably within, I'd guess, 1,000 feet of where we targeted for. I think this is in due in large measure to an extremely good piece of detective work and engineering work in taking what we learned on Apollo 11, converting it into a few changes in the procedures for Apollo 12, doing a little better job on being able to propagate errors and this sort of thing. And, of course, what I consider the superb performance of the flight crew themselves. I think all of our science people are very pleased with where we've landed. They feel that the potential for geology for the EVAs is very good. We had previously, before the flight, looked at two or three different traverse routes, depending on exactly where he set it down. And I think with the location that we're in, with the general area, that science applications will be very good. What this all means to us in terms of being able to land this close to where we wish to go is we can look downstream to some of the future flights and plan, at least right now, until we find something that changes our mind, that we can go into some of these future targets that we've talked about. We landed today with adequate reserve of propellant. All that went very well.
A spokesman for the National Space Agency. It was close to 6 hours after touching down on the moon that astronauts Alan Bean and Pete Conrad began their extravehicular activity. This is what it sounded like as the departure from Intrepid was described by Rhett Turner.
Pete says he's ready to go over the sill. He's looking at his checklist. He's reading off from his checklist, deploy the LEC and the Mesa, the first thing he does. The LEC is a clothesline device for hauling equipment back and forth up into the hatch. He's He says he gets the feeling he's stuck on something. He's backing out.
Now you're in good shape. Okay. Go straight down from where you are. Okay.
Bean's telling Pete to go straight down.
Good.
And back
That's
out.
Good. Okay.
On his hands and knees, and then backs out Pete first.
You're headed right square out the hatch. You have to bend over more though.
That portable life support system on his back causes him to have to bend over.
Move to your right. There you are. Now go.
Al is directing.
Got a little more.
Al says you've got to get down a little more. That's why they need a small platform outside the hatch called the front porch.
You're okay.
It has to be a little space for Pete to move out onto before he can then really orient himself and descend the ladder. Al says you're headed out the door.
That's real good.
First thing Pete will do will be bring out the clothesline device with him.
Okay. Okay, I'm at the porch.
Pete says he's on the porch.
Just a second.
He's outside.
Okay, let me pull up.
Going to pull on the...
Deploy the Mesa.
Going to deploy the Mesa. He's going to pull that ring, and then Al can turn
the
camera.
Damn, there's a tug on that handle. Damn, there's a step. Okay, while you're doing that, let me get the LEC ready for you.
Having a little trouble pulling the handle of the lanyard on the Mesa.
He's pulled the cable.
The Mesa is flopped down.
TV starting to come in.
Hey, I'll tell you where we're parked next to.
As soon as...
We're about 25 feet in front of the surveyor crane. That's good.
Now Pete knows where he is.
I bet you when I get down to the bottom of the ladder, I can see the surveyor. All right, figure out you want to take this with you, Pete.
Sounds good, Pete, just like you wanted.
Just swing her out here. That's right.
He's going to see it.
Okay, now hold it there. Just a second, Pete, okay? 1 second.
The picture we're getting looks quite similar to Apollo 11.
Do you have any TV, Houston?
Yes, we do.
Roger, we've got a TV.
We can't quite see Pete on that
ladder
yet.
No, Pete Conrad is yet.
No, I'm at the top of the ladder.
And he's small.
Okay, now look, this thing is all the way out of bounds. How do you want me to do it? What are you doing? Huh?
Adios.
No, but this thing isn't all the way out of the... That's okay. Here, let me have this end of it.
He's trying to get the...
They come back up the ladder.
Conveyor device.
Attaboy. Which end is that?
We're going to see Pete on television coming down the ladder in a moment.
Here we go. Look at that stuff, though. And he flies in 1 6, but... Yeah.
He tossed out, I believe, part of that clothesline.
Look at that stuff,
Joe. It really sailed out.
In
1/6 gravity, it really sailed out. We could see something on the television as he threw it out.
Here, just a second. Don't go down yet. I've got to get my camera on you, dude. I can't get down yet. Anyway, I got to whoop.
The conveyor is dangling into the picture.
Okay. There we go.
That's the lunar equipment conveyor swinging in the screen there.
The LEC, the lunar equipment conveyor.
All right.
Clothesline pulley device.
I can't figure out kind of a snarl I got here.
Pete says he has a snarl in that line. Coming back to Earth, a color television picture. We can see a gold strut, which is one of the legs on the moon.
The color at this point definitely enhances the picture, I think. It makes the structure much more clear.
What's the problem? The LEC came out of the bag in 3 pieces, and she would land. Well, imagine. I picked the wrong piece. Do you want me to pull it back in and throw you in? No, that's not the problem. There's no trouble. I got it right now. Man, they aren't good when they say things get dusty.
The LEC was snarled up when he took it out of the bag. He says it got quite dusty.
It must have dragged already on the surface one time.
We can see it dangling. We can see Pete now coming down the ladder. There's a foot, a big covered foot in view. Boy, is that a good-looking sight, that limb, says Pete.
You're coming into the picture now, Pete.
That's Ed Gibson, capsule communicator.
Okay, got the old camera running.
Al says he has the camera running from inside so that he can photograph this also.
The
there he goes.
Yeah, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me.
Pete says it's a small one for Neil, a long one for me.
Step off the pad, Mark. Off the foot, that's profit.
He stepped off.
Hey, that's neat.
Hey, that's neat.
Just a few seconds after setting foot on the moon, astronaut Pete Conrad caught sight of the Surveyor mooncraft.
Boy, you'll never believe it. Never
That's what I see sitting on the side of the crater.
He sees the surveyor.
The old surveyor, huh?
The old surveyor, yes, sir.
Does that look neat? It can't be any further than 600 feet from here.
He sees the surveyor and he says it can't be, couldn't be any farther than 600
well,
feet.
Me too. I got a little chore to do here, right? Say again?
I say that was well planned, Pete.
Yeah, just a couple of months with a lot of people. Let's see, deploy the LEC and a Mesa that's done. I'm looking at my mobility, speed shift.
Going through his checklist.
I have a decided impression I don't want to move too rapidly.
I have the decided impression I don't want to move too rapidly. I can walk quite well, he says.
That surveyor really is sitting on the side of a steep slope, I'll tell you that.
Astronaut Pete Conrad. The astronauts spent a busy 4 hours on the surface of the moon as they performed a variety of experiments aimed at increasing man's knowledge of the moon. It was less than a half hour ago that they ended the extravehicular activity and returned to the Intrepid. Once again, here's how Rhett Turner described the event.
The astronauts have been outside for 3 hours and 51 minutes, an extended EVA period. They're not using up their consumables as fast as expected.
Am I dirty?
Pete says, am I dirty? Mission Control has likened their descriptions of their condition and the lunar soil getting all over them to their having wallowed around in a cold.
Okay, Houston. What do you want me to do? Get in?
Houston, Madrid confirmed CFM Vogue out of the downwing.
That's affirmative, Pete. If you've got the ETB and the rock box in, then climb in yourself.
Instructions to Conrad to go on and climb in. His equipment transfer bag is in now. The rock box is in. Climb in yourself, comes the word from the Earth. All of the men in Mission Control who've helped plan out the timelines to be followed on such an extravehicular activity period, very carefully going along, watching their plans. They've simulated it again and again. And they can think of a lot of things that Pete and Al wouldn't necessarily think of as they're performing the activity. So the backup is that communications link back with the Earth. Pete should be climbing up on the platform any time now. A call from Ed Gibson. Intrepid Houston was the call. No answer.
Intrepid Houston.
Ready for me to come in, Al?
I'm ready. It's up to them.
I don't have to hear
them.
I'm not sure that lunar study didn't do it. I'd better go back on track and get them back. Click.
Intrepid, Houston, stand by.
Okay, what's your problem?
Okay, we had a changeover from one site to another down here. It was all on our end. No problem with your antenna. It's working well.
Okay, you guys ought to call those things out in advance. That's been happening all the way through this flight.
Roger, Pete, we concur. And go ahead and press on the ingress.
Conrad is preparing to climb back in. He's got to hop up one long step. He's a little short guy, but on the move.
All right, Houston, Mark, I'm on the footpad.
He's on the footpad. Let's
Mark.
See.
Okay,
Madrid. Let's see if he has any trouble hopping to that first step.
Welcome.
It was easy.
It was easy. I just closed my feed water. You might want to do that too.
Al Bean has closed off his feed water in his liquid cool garment.
Probably a good idea. Let me see if I can find it back here.
Pete's going to try to close
okay,
off his
tube. Okay, I just closed mine.
He said he was getting cold
coming
in there.
Coming up the ladder.
Climbing up the ladder.
Sorry about that.
Conrad's climbing up the ladder.
You get a warning because you haven't got your tube water. That's got cooling for quite a while.
Yeah, understand. Okay, one garbage bag. Anything else there you want to get rid of?
Not a thing.
All right, hand me the LEC.
Okay, the LEC's got a kind of a little slip knot in because of the... Got it?
Yeah.
Pete, on your way through the hatch, will you give a check on the seal?
That's the hatch
check
seal.
On the seal. Okay, I can see it probably better than he can from this side, Houston. Seal looks real good. I'll tell you what we did do. When we got out, I can't believe I did that. Yeah, you did. Because I remember you were hitting here, and then when I backed up, I could... I tell you, we probably just had to put a piece of tape over it.
Okay. That's my
the hatch, and for about a 10-inch cut there, and it didn't hurt the insulation, didn't hurt the hatch, and I don't know whether you want to put a piece of tape on there or just forget it. Doesn't look like it's going to bother anything. I'd say just forget it. Okay, Pete, I can get over on your side. Okay, let me move over.
Okay.
I just checked your circuit breakers, and they're all good.
All right.
Just a second, not out of the way yet.
All right, but I want you to hold the door for a minute while I...
Okay, close this front. So I've got to get out of the way.
First thing here.
Pete, we concur, no tape.
All right.
Pete's climbing up. Get
okay.
Up in the hatch area.
Second, Pete, let me back up a little better.
Hey, tell me which way to go.
Just a second. Okay, you're just perfect. You got on in. Put your chest down and your rear end. There you go. Got it. Go a little bit to the left.
Al's helping Pete through the hatch.
Go push up and you're fat. A little bit to the left. A little bit further to the left. That's it. Up.
They really have to get out on all fours.
You're the best possible position. Scoot in a little more.
Okay,
you got it.
I'm in. No sweat.
Okay, now careful when you turn around. You
yeah, yeah.
Hit this. It does. Okay. Boy, you look dirty.
Mm-hmm. No, you do too.
They're bringing a lot of lunar soil inside with them.
Okay, it says just need water closed. We did that. Boiler hatch closed and locked.
Yeah.
When you're out of the way, I'll slide over and lock.
Am I out of the way?
Gotcha.
It might turn around.
Okay.
Okay.
Get all my hands and knees and lock your thing.
Yeah.
Get it pushed down.
Wait just a second. Let me raise my visors. Let's see what's going on in here. Okay.
Can you give me push me down?
I am pushing you down.
Both astronauts are now back inside the spacecraft. They're in the process of closing the hatch.
That was how it sounded as astronauts Alan Bean and Pete Conrad returned to their lunar landing vehicle for a well-deserved 9-hour rest period. You've heard the first of 2 3-hour walks on the lunar surface by astronauts Conrad and Bean. The lunar module Intrepid, with its 2 passengers, has been on the lunar surface over 9 hours. The Voice of America's next worldwide broadcast of Apollo 12 will come on Thursday, November 20th at 5 hours Greenwich Mean Time for a second lunar walk, when astronauts Conrad and Bean will attempt to reach the Surveyor spacecraft, which has been resting on the side of a crater for the past 2.5 years. During our regular broadcasts, the Voice of America will bring you full coverage of all events during this mission of Apollo 12. This is Mel Quinn in Washington.